Music right there from Aiden Knight. It's from his album Each Other. We had Bleached before that from their latest EP, and you're listening to Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WISO. I'm Juliet Frumholt, and as promised, we have more live music for you. You can see this band Friday night with our band from the first hour of the show at Oscars in Vandalia. They also have a new EP out and lots to talk about, I'm sure. We'll catch up with them here in just a few moments. But first, we're going to welcome our returning guests back to the studio and hear some live music from Cricket Bows.
Take on a fairy wheel ride high above the in the shade of the old weeping willow tree that day, with the top tucked down my shirt just like a cape. Well, he looks like the Joker and Penguin have escaped. So I jump on my old gold Huffy and peel away.
So welcome back, guys.
Hey.
Howdy.
Hey. So I think in following the sort of pattern we have tonight, it's been about a year, though I think for you guys it's been more than a year and a couple of weeks. It's maybe a year and a month since you were last here, I think. But you guys have had a kind of a big year. You've got the EP out, you had the film debut. Give us a little snapshot of what's been happening recently.
We have been super busy. It's really, we've taken time to make the world's longest EP as far as how long it's taken us to record it and release it. I think we were talking about this EP one or two episodes back when we were on a year or so. It's been 2 years in the making. We recorded the EP with Zach Gabbard out at Howler Hills from the Buffalo Killers. And we made some really cool videos for each song, and then we kind of were having a lot of fun doing video stuff, so we made a movie and released it this last month as a we did our premiere at the Neon Movies in Dayton and sold out the room, and it was awesome.
Well, in talking about the EP, I mean you guys say it took a long time, and yet the thing I find really interesting about it is we're definitely in experiencing the EP, and I think in experiencing the sort of process of the EP that we see play out in the film, we're seeing an evolution of you guys as musicians and as a band, as a unit. There's still that hallmark Cricket Bowes sound, but this is sort of a new turn sonically. Was that something that was kind of deliberate as you were writing these songs, or was that something that just sort of happened over this 2-year process?
I don't think we thought it through super heavily. It was really kind of organic. The band just sort of from playing together for so long started to progress into this thing. Really, also when Zach gave us the call, there was a growing pain that happened in the band. Zach gave us the call soon after we released our last album, Diamonds. We hadn't even done the work it we should have done to push Diamonds, to go out and play more out of town shows with that. And Zach called us to come and record with him, and so we jumped at the chance. And we really had a whole collection of songs that we hadn't been working on as a band for very long. There were a couple things that had come together as a band, and then there were things that I just sort of had laying around in my demo file, and we needed material to go into the studio. So we went into the studio and recorded the entire thing, and then it didn't feel right. Like the band hadn't quite gelled on those songs, and we had some inner band stuff. We lost a member back then and replaced him, and Kyle coming into the band and replacing Jim sort of gave us a slightly different turn in just feel. You know, every member of the band brings a distinctive feel to the situation, and so to change somebody out really kind of can affect the sonic signature.
It
so
was a good effect.
Yeah, it was a good thing. Jim was great, right. But we've tightened up a whole bunch, and the sort of direction we're going, like, we were really loose and more amorphous and jammy before, and now it's a lot more focused on kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say rocking more, but kind of rocking more, tightening things up and focusing on more traditional song structures and stuff. So it really did just kind of fall together, though. I think if we had, like, what we planned to record another full-length album, and we ended up with an EP. Like, there was a whole lot that we planned to do that wasn't actually what it turned into. So, but yeah, I don't think it was thought out.
It just kind of manifested that way, yeah, organically.
Well, and it sounds like too that the journey was so important for you all as a band, you know, that it really, you know, that in taking that time, and you said, you know, you didn't get to do everything you wanted to do in terms of pushing Diamonds. Well, it sounds like this sort of, you know, pulling back and really spending the time and, you know, reconfiguring as a group really has allowed you guys to sort of grow and really prioritize and decide, you know, do we want to jam it out? Do we want to be tight? And really the push for this EP has been incredible, and it's not even been out that long. So it sounds like it was just a necessary refocusing, if you will.
Yeah. We decided that we wanted to do this right. I've been in bands for 25 years at least, if not 30 years. And it's always been, you record something and you put it out to your crew and your crowd, and it just exists. But, you know, this time around we decided to actually enlist a PR agency and do the whole press thing. And so the sort of the reason why the EP came out even when it did was because it worked best for the PR agency's thing. You know, we would have put it out a long time ago, but, you know, we got it properly mastered. You know, Patrick Himes helped us finish the album. He helped a whole lot, and, you know, pushed us to a mastering lab in Nashville that has mastered most of the stuff that he's engineered, which gave it the same guy that masters Alabama stuff mastered our EP, so
that's pretty awesome.
It put some good Nashville juju on there, and then working with Pavement PR to get it into the right channels as far as magazines and websites and things like that has been a huge deal for us. So
I'm curious, does that, you know, I know it can be kind of this split thing, like coming from like playing music as long as you have, especially Chad, like in coming from that sort of DIY aesthetic. Is it hard to sort of cede that control over to other people? The flip side of that, I'm really wondering about you guys in particular, especially having sort of known you guys for a while, is does it make it easier to have the band be a thing that goes beyond just your friends when you're all adults with families and businesses and jobs and things that are very important and very much exist outside of this band? It feels like it's such a you know, two sides of the coin situation.
Yeah, you're right. It's both. There's a lot of things that we're doing right now that make things easier and nicer, but there are also things that make it harder. Like, because we're pushing this hard, you know, there have been not bad, stressful conversations, but there have been like, hey, come on, guys, we've got to do this thing.
Yeah.
Like, you got to take a day off work, or you've got to do this or that, and I've got to sacrifice this, and we're all going to sacrifice this. And, you know, but it's still really DIY. Like, we legit took a job painting Mike's bike park to help pay for all of this. Like, we're like the little rascals out like painting a fence to get this thing done. So
we're going to put on a show.
it's not really glamorous at all. But it's you know, we're in control of it, but we're using the machine, I guess.
I think that having the machine with us though has sort of had everybody be a little more focused on everything than what, you know, we're just hanging out recording an album where, you know, we're not having 10 other people rely on us. We can kind of really do anything and no one's holding us accountable. It's great to have some accountability into that and to, you know, not that it was bad before or anything, but I like it. I think it's great.
Makes it feel like super legit when you have people you have to answer to.
Absolutely.
So the EP, the new EP, Communion, is out now, and you guys are playing Friday night at Oscars as part of this amazing show that Thundertaker, Last Hour's guests, are going to be a part of. What does the rest of the fall look like for you guys?
We're going to be working really hard to push this EP, just continuing to, you know, there are a couple more video premieres that have to happen, and the sort of wider, broader premiere or release of the movie is going to happen. And, you know, just booking as many shows as we can. I think we're going to focus on just getting out there. You know, there's been talks of when the entire band can't get together to do a thing, maybe we can do miniature versions of the band with just two or three of us going out and doing, you know, record shops and coffee shops and things like that. So we're really going to put the rubber to the road and get out and get these songs out. But also, because we've taken 2 years to release an EP, we're going to try. My goal is to try and push to get another EP out within less than a year. So we're looking at maybe doing an acoustic thing, or I'm not even sure yet. I'll say what it'll be, and then it'll change 10 times. But there will be more. You know, there's more songs sitting around waiting. Kyle just brought a new song to the band at rehearsal the other night, and Erica wrote a song a while back on piano. And we've been toying with other instruments and things like that. We Chris is much more than just a bass player. He's a noodler of technology and synths and things like that. So I think that we're going to play with a lot of that kind of stuff. Right, Chris?
I do like to make a lot of noise.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like really at this point, you know, everything is, the possibilities are so open. And that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's cool. I want to talk a little bit about the film. I know it, you know, is not available widely yet, but having experienced it at the Neon, it was amazing and evoked a lot of emotion for me. What was that like as you were taking all of this footage, things from the recording sessions, different moments with the band? You had a little bit of footage, you know, here on the show from a few years ago.
Yeah, you're the first voice on the film other than a band member. You're the first non-band member voice in the movie. So, yeah, we sort of obsessively, like you do now, you carry around a video camera and editing suite in your pocket that's in your phone. So, like you do, we took a lot of pictures and a lot of video of things that we were doing, and And, you know, there are multiple people in the band are sort of tech savvy people or have interests in other things. You know, Chris is a phenomenal photographer, and so he has a pretty pro rig, and Kyle is a serious collector of gadgets, and so he had some pretty pro equipment. We brought in our friend Josh Gwynn, who had some pretty pro stuff. But we also shot a ton on our cell phones and our little, you know, point and shoots and things like that, and just sort of collected it. And ultimately, we knew for quite some time that we wanted to do like a home video slash movie thing. And it was there were talks of it sort of taking multiple different shapes. Like there were going to be fantasy elements in it originally and all sorts of different things like that that just kind of ended up being silly and falling away. But it was really neat for me. Like I got to spend so much time with it. I would kind of sit late at night and just carve the thing together and then tear it apart and put it back together. And then I would get it to a fairly watchable point and bring it to the band, and we would all watch it and laugh at it. And then I would take it back home and cut it up again, and until we sort of found the right pacing and flow for everything. So it was really cool for me. I'm not sure you guys can chime in. I don't know how it was for them. I had the strange phenomenon where I had witnessed myself in a film in the theater that we premiered that film in before, so it wasn't that weird for me to see myself on the big screen. Our good friend who has since passed, Andy Kopp, did a film with me in it years ago, and so I've seen my nose holes that big before.
Yeah, it was weird. I have a 3-foot long nostril. Oh my god. Hope nobody else is seeing that, right? No?
I think everybody probably saw the things that they were, you know, we probably all developed some new personal hang-ups about our physical selves.
I really like that the movie. I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but one of my favorite things when I was growing up, you know, I would actually listen to an album all the way through, which is unheard of these days, but I also like to open up the covers. Mm-hmm. And I loved all the little nuggets of goodness that all the bands would put in there, and you know, my friends would have the same album and wouldn't do that. So I, you know, it's not like I was in a special club or anything, but I like to go the extra mile and to sort of feel what the band was doing when they were doing that. And I thought it was great to, you know, we do that anyway all the time, but it was great to put that on film and to put that out and see it like that. Even for me to see, you know, I'm in the band, and I think it's cool to see all that cool stuff that was happening.
Well, I feel like having seen it too. Visually, it was so fascinating, and I know I told you this the night of the premiere, Chad, and I'm curious how intentional this was, but to me, part of what made it so magical was that I could see your musical influences as a band coming through visually, like different concert films and band oh, yeah. movies and music videos and things like that were very much reflected in that visually. And I could get to this just great visual sense of kind of where you guys are coming from musically. And I don't know how much of that, again, was deliberate or just was organic as part of that process.
It was a little bit of both, for sure. I appreciate very much that you saw that. We had a lot of – we have, you know, the Facebook private group that we sort of built the thing in where we would have – you know, we would have conversations in rehearsals and things. But it was really more like – you know, Facebook Messenger back and forth stuff. And there was a lot of listing of, like, I like this movie, this home video, this film, and this concert movie. And we sort of traded those things around or talked about the vibe that we wanted to show. And yeah, really made it happen. I think I personally grew up on, like, all my favorite bands were really visual, whether it's the Beatles or the Monkees or Kiss or whatever. That was always a thing, but also in the 90s growing up and late 80s, like every great band sort of that couldn't break on radio or through traditional radio and touring, they put out a great home video. So like I discovered Jane's Addiction because of video rather than audio. I discovered the Red Hot Chili Peppers because of video rather than audio. Even bands like heavy metal bands like Pantera, like the coolest thing about that band was those Vulgar video series they did.
Was awesome.
It was like Jackass before that Jackass was a thing.
Yeah.
And it really does. It absolutely gives you a sort of fly on the wall view of what the band's about and gives them an opportunity to set the mood and sort of curate the album. And like Mike said, to to package these songs all together so that you're not just putting a song on a Spotify playlist and rolling on with your day. Like, that's great too. And please, people, do that. Put our stuff on your Spotify playlist. But instead of just doing that, like, I like the idea of somebody taking the entire thing as one meal, you know. And so the movie makes that a thing. So you have the entire EP wrapped up in that film, and then all these sort of extra little musical bits and behind the scenes things. And it really kind of does let us talk about what our influences are and what our world view is, without, you know, getting crazy preachy or anything.
We're talking to Cricket Bowes. Their new EP is called Communion. It's available now, all the digital spots, and on their Bandcamp page, which we've got a link to on our Facebook page. We're at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. Check them out Friday night at Oscars in Vandalia. They'll be performing with Thundertaker and Bribing Senators. We've got a link up to that show at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio as well. But before you go sliding off to the depths of the internet, we have more live music for you. You guys ready to do a few more?
Absolutely.
All right.
I'm electric guitar and fire on Jam Right Blue. 'Cause I was raised on rock and roll. Say my prayers to St. John, Paul, George, and Ringo too. And I bow to the lightning of Elvis and Bowie and Frey. Turn the radio up 'cause I don't want to feel no. By like a river beneath my feet, and the radio's on, and it's blasting a tune. I got a whole lot of love, and I'm on the dark side of the moon. Turn the radio up, 'cause I don't wanna.
Cricket Bows, live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Their new EP is called Communion. It's available now. You can see them Friday night at Oscars in Vandalia. They'll be joining Thundertaker, our guest from earlier in the show, on stage, as well as bribing senators. We've got links up to information on how to get the EP and the show at facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. Guys, thank you so much for being here. It was such a pleasure
thank
having
you,
you
back. Once again, thank you.
Check out Cricket Bowes Friday night at Oscars in Vandalia. All the details at facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. This is member supported 91.3 WYSO Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at wyso.org. WYSO is a community service of Antioch College for the Miami Valley and beyond.
At six.
Comedy of man starts like this. Our brains are